Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, give it up, Florida and around the world. Give it up for Jesus today if you love it. We're going to have fun today. You can be seated if you're good looking. If you're ugly, remain standing. I'm just kidding. You sit down, you good looking thing. Hey, listen, I want to shout out real quick. Last weekend, I had the privilege of going for the first time and having church at our new church at Fairview Heights that you guys built, and they are great. Come on, give it up for Fairview. I know they're going buck wild. Come on, you can do better than that. It's amazing. It's so cool. I mean, the pastor over there, Pastor Casper and Haley, they're doing such a great job. And the team, I met so many people that had been watching us on television for years, praying for the church to come. And apparently coming to St. Louis is too far, but we're like Walgreens. We just come on every corner. Can I get an amen? And so, again, one more time, give it up for the newest campus in our family. Hey, before we get to talking today, we got this little card I want you to give away to people everywhere. How many of this church and Jesus has changed your life in a big way? Amen. And I believe that we're supposed to share our faith. The Bible talks about if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. We certainly don't want that. And the Bible said that he that winneth souls is wise. And so we've designed these. You might even see the cars being spray painted. That, by the way, comes off, supposedly. Come on, somebody, let's really do it. And but we just tell people everywhere about Jesus and tell them about the church. Because today, the worship set at all campuses, I was watching some on some of the feed. It was just so powerful. I love that last song where it says, nothing but the blood. I don't talk like I used to. Even Nicole's cussing less. Can I get amen? It's just a good thing. So give away these cards. I promise you, your friends are going to love it. And Good Friday, of course, is different than Easter. It's just a special service that we do. Today, I want to talk in our series about serving it. Sometimes you don't feel qualified to share your story because you wait to get it all together. Like, I don't want to tell people at work about Jesus because they know I'm a mess and they're going to call me a hypocrite. Here's what I learned a long time ago. I found out a few years ago the secret to my recipe, my secret sauce was this, that people came to church because they're like, he's a pastor? He's so jacked up, it made them feel good about themselves. So the more real you are, the more authentic you are, you say, I'm not perfect, but I serve a perfect God, and he can help me, and I'll help you get to church. So sometimes though, we get intimidated. I got some pictures of us back in the day playing tennis. That's me and Nicole when she got into tennis real big, and I was more into the photo selfie. And then Austin, he's like, oh, yeah. And then because he's so good looking, he marries a girl who is a champion at LSU. She played tennis, okay? Here's the problem with that. When you're playing tennis and you think you're pretty good because you suck and your wife sucks, so you both just kind of hit it all over, and then you get a tennis pro and the family, all of a sudden, they start running you, and you just feel like you're horrible, and what it did is it kind of took the joy out of tennis because I'm like, hey, I didn't want this to kill me or something. And sometimes I think we do that. We think, well, I want to save sharing Jesus for the professionals. I want to share my faith when I get it all together. And listen, we're never going to get it all together. If I was waiting to get it together, you guys would be still waiting. When's Pastor David coming? Because I'd be waiting. Because we don't clean up to come to Christ. We come to Christ, and he cleans us up. And that's why we want to continue to share authentically our faith. I get it. It's a little different for you, but it comes very natural if you stop focusing on who you are and focus on who he is. Exodus 4, verse 10, it said, Moses said to the Lord, hey, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since. You've spoken to your servant. I'm slow in speech, or I have a speech impediment. I stutter. We know that happened. Now, verse 12, I love this. He says, hey, if you go, I'll help you speak, and I'll teach you what to say. So number one, God is saying the greater one is living and abiding on the inside of you, and all you have to do is tell your story. You have to tell somebody else's story. In fact, you don't have to know a lot about the Bible, because there are people who want to argue. Have you ever seen that? Like, some people really like, they're like, if there was a Jeopardy for the Bible, they would win, right? It's like, what about first and second Maccabee? And what about millennial reign and pre-trib? Here's what I found. Those people just want to argue. Like, leave those people and say, hey, you know, somebody else. You're just looking for people to share your story to help them out of their pain. Real live fire. Last night, I got a text from my neighbor. And my neighbor texted me, and he said, hey, I had, and he goes through something that kind of upset him and scared him, okay? And I don't know this guy really well. He's just my neighbor. But as he's told me what happened to him, there was fear tied to it that he someday would basically go to hell. And because he knew that he deserves to go to hell, and because we know we deserve to go to hell, the enemy comes in, ties in with the inner me, and tries to beat you down and says, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. And then another demon, trio, David, you're no good. And then you start listening to that. So he was upset about it. He said, hey, what's this mean? And I said, I can tell you exactly what it means. Do you want to know? I was just playing with him. Come on, somebody, do you want to know? And so he said, of course I want to know. So I went into, we were doing a concert, was live streaming, by the way, humble brag. Our daughter, I used to call her my daughter when I'm proud. She's Nicole's daughter, which she's bad. Can I get amen? But Ashton had a live concert last night, all in Spanish. So many with Israel Houghton and Adrian Bailon from Cheetah Girls. And it went nuts, and it shut down the whole streaming service. And I was watching that. Give it up for Ashton Crank, our daughter. Okay, so while this is going on, I went to his bedroom, and I left him a message that brought him peace. Let him know that God doesn't come to condemn, that God doesn't come to hurt, that this is fear, and fear has torment. And this God that we serve is a loving God, a gracious God. And God's not trying to send people to hell. He's trying to send people to heaven. He texted me back, wow, this brought me so much peace. I said, I will be praying for you tonight, okay, and you're going to sleep good. Now, what I didn't say was, you dirty rascal, bet you won't even come to church tomorrow. No, because the love of God draws men to repentance. I'm trying to get him in the game. I'm trying to serve up a loving Jesus. You understand? Through conversation. I know this is sitting and you're kind of quiet, but I think you're quiet because you're like, hey, there are people next to me and near to me that they'll either die and spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell based on what I do. So I can't look back and say, well, somebody plays better than me and I don't want to play anymore because my daughter-in-law is so good or Billy Graham was so good or Joyce Meyer is so good. No, you have a story to tell and you got to serve your God at your location to affect people at the biscuit joint. Come here, biscuit joint, jump up. I'm going to give you a free commercial. Come here really fast, really fast. Got to make it quick. If you're in the St. Louis area and you want to go to the place that you have to stand in line where all the cool people go, it's the hipster's place to have biscuits right here. This is the man that owns the biscuit joint. It's breakfast. Guess what? They're making money right now, but guess whose butt came to church today? Come on, give it up for the biscuit boy. Come on, you can do better than that. So don't say, let's say it one more time. Moses said to the Lord, pardon me, your servant, Lord, I'm not eloquent. He didn't check to see if you're eloquent. He's trying to get you to share your faith and your story to make a difference. It's easy. Now, the enemy, you've heard this, a lot of times he uses the imposter syndrome, where you're just trying to be a Christian. No, you are a Christian. How many of you are, not everybody, but you're an American. Raise your hand, you're an American, okay? You know the song, I'm proud to be an American, or at least I know I'm free, right? So you're an American. When you go to a different country, you're not trying to be an American, you are one. You're an American. Okay, so you're not trying to be a Christian. When you receive Jesus, come on, every campus, you didn't achieve him by jumping high, being good, going to church, paying your tithes. These are all things you should do. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to do some of those. Come on, look at them. Okay, so these are things that you should do, but this doesn't get you into heaven or hell. What gets you into heaven is 1,000% you receive Jesus in your heart. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, he is the way. So he is the truth and the life. So we got to receive him, not achieve him. And when you tell people this story, that God is so good and he loves us so much, yet while we were sinners, he died on the cross for us. I mean, who doesn't want this? This is better than the biscuit joint. This is better than Reese's peanut butter cups. This is better than Thin Mints frozen in the field. Shabbat, hallelujah. This is the good news of the gospel. He loves you. Not based on what you've done, based on who he is. So then we've got to say, hey, I'm not an imposter. I am sharing my faith. Now let's talk about negative self-talk for a minute. Anybody ever been alone with yourself and you just depressed yourself talking about, I'm too fat, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too blah, I'm too young, I'm too old. I'm gonna try it one more time. Anybody old enough to have looked in the mirror and you see all these wrinkles, you're like, oh my gosh, he's trying to look like Kevin Costner. What is so weird? Worse, you look like Willie Nelson. Come on, somebody. Oh my gosh. Bunch of rednecks like Willie over here. Come on, somebody. Oh, I don't know. Okay. I didn't mean any harm by it. So here's the stick, though, is you got to say, hey, this negative talk, I got to stop it. And the negative talk tells you, here's the key. Don't you dare share your faith, because there's one thing you don't talk about. Well, there's two. You don't talk about politics, and you don't talk about religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationship. And you'd be so surprised if you found out who is waiting. My neighbor is waiting, can't sleep good until he talks to me because he thinks I'm the expert on the street about God, because he happened to watch TV and there I was and they all talk about it. Some people like it, some people don't. But here's what I found is most of the time people actually want to hear about Jesus. And if you tell them your story, you're not trying to look him in the eye in a weird way and trying to force something on him. You just tell him, hey, I think God's got something for you. Not this. It's more like this. If you just keep loving people and show people the love of God and you draw them, what it does is it gets rid of that feeling of I'm not good enough. Moses said, I'm not good enough. Negative self-talk. I can't talk good. I can't walk good. No. This is not about that. Stop it. I saw this little tennis video, and it's really cool. Watch this guy. He's trying to clean up the balls. Okay, he's got one job to do here. Go get that ball. Go get that ball. Hurry up. Don't be a distraction. Oh, God. Nothing to see here. Come on, son. Is that great or what? Anybody ever had a moment like that? With all the noise. Nothing here. Nothing here. Nothing here at all. Okay, this is what we do. We can say, you know, in his brain, he's like, oh, you suck. That's terrible. You're horrible at this. This is going to go viral. They're going to play it at church someday. Don't focus on what you're not. Just chill out and realize that God's strength shines the brightest through our weakness. So where you're weak, he's strong. So when you share your faith, you give him that card. Come on, Fairview. And you're over in Fairview Heights, Illinois. You're giving away the cards, giving away the cards. What you're doing is you're allowing God to use you to change somebody else's life. Jeremiah, here's another great scripture. Jeremiah 1 verse 6. Jeremiah felt like he was too young. He said, I'm too young. I'm unqualified to speak for God. God responds in verse 7 and says, do not say, I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to. I've noticed this about the enemy. He always tells you you're too young or too old. I've never heard anybody go, the devil told me today I'm the perfect age to reach people for Jesus. No, there's never a day. You're too young, you're too old. What you're doing, though, and I do it as well, is we focus on what we are instead of who God is. And so what we do is we get paralyzed by fear. And so don't let fear silence your faith when somebody else needs your voice. I love that. By the way, this works in business, too. This works at asking people out. What if Nicole would have allowed fear to stop her from asking me out on a date? Hey, this is my sermon. I know you're thinking it's different. That is true. When I saw her, I thought, oh my gosh, I love her. Immediately, I want to be with her. It wasn't love, it was lust. But either way, that got me interested. She blew me off, and then I went back and talked to her again. She blew me off, and then I went back again. She blew me off. You can't give up. I went there, and I said, hey, I lost my number. Can I have yours? And she said, is that the best you got? She walked away, and I said, hey, are those space pants? Because your butt looks out of this world in those pants. Now, I know Joel Osteen wouldn't tell you this on a Sunday. This is who I am. Don't give up. Don't let fear stop you from talking to people. Don't let fear, because a couple people reject you, somebody will accept you. So share it everywhere you go. Spray it everywhere you go. I'm here to tell you that people need what you've got. Somebody ought to give God praise today at every campus. Yeah. So don't say, I'm too young. This same thing happened again with Gideon. Judges 6, verse 14. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have. Shout that with me. Go in the strength that you have. Ferguson, every campus, go in this. I feel bad because I haven't shouted out Weldon. There you go. Roll palm, everybody, in Mars and online. Go in the strength you have. Go in the strength that you have. Verse 15 says, pardon me, Lord, but now how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest. He's still making excuses. Verse 16, he says, but I will be with you. I will be with you. Go in the strength that you have. What do you have? You have the card. You got the story. Conversation. Conversation is something that you, for the most part, can do. I mean, y'all, you don't talk a lot. Raise your hand. You don't talk a lot. You're kind of shy. Okay. One guy. That's good. I like it. How many of y'all talk a lot? You like, how many of y'all married to somebody talk so much? They talk in their sleep, you know? I'm like, conversation. We were in California this week, and there was this coffee bar, and I love coffee. It's actually biblical that men, by the way, make the coffee. The Bible's got a whole book called Hebrews. Can I get a man? And we were at the coffee shop in the line, and this older woman, she came in, and she's about this tall. And later, I find out she's 82, okay? But she came in, and anybody ever seen people there? They're not as mobile as they used to be, but they are kind of moving it. She came in, she had her dog, and I said, good morning. She said, good morning, young man. I said, is that your dog? She said, yeah, that's my daughter-in-law. And I said, oh, I call my daughter-in-law, conversation, daughter-in-law. She said, I like it. I'm going to keep it. She said, I'm 82. I'm going out today, having a good day, and I'm having a conversation. I'm having a good time with her. And then eventually she says, before she leaves, she said a line that I shall never forget. It's great. You're going to want to use it. I love these kind of lines. She said, hey, listen, if you get in any trouble while you're out here in California, give me a call. I'll come join you. She sort of wobbles out. And I thought, man, I like it. You get in any trouble, call me. I'll join you. What I was doing is just having conversation with her. She's having conversation with me. This eventually leads into what do you do? Where are you at? How can we connect? You can do this. You're at the gas pump. You're pumping gas. By the way, I thought it was high till I was in California this week. $7 a gallon there. Give it up for Missouri and Florida. Not so bad, huh? Not too bad. Could be worse. All right, okay. $7, whoa. So you're having a conversation at the gas pump. Here's a text that I got this week from one of our team members, and the text goes like this. It says, hey, I just met David at the gas station. Invited him to church, and he mentioned that he and his wife Tracy watch on TV every week, and they love PD and PN. Now, notice this guy. Mark doesn't know that the guy watches on TV. Here's what I can assure you. If you're in St. Louis or in Illinois or in Palm Beach County, they have seen us on TV because you guys, through your love for reaching people for Jesus, have spent more money buying late night TV than anybody around. Remember when it used to be Richard Simmons and the Ginzu Knife Guy and the Ab Roller and Dionne Warwick? Come on, somebody. Now it's us. It's us. They see us everywhere. And we're saying, we're not pointing the finger to this way. We're pointing the finger to this way. God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And so they're watching. They're just one ask away. Yeah. Oh, I know that guy. So again, easier for you at the gas station. They know your church. We have a great reputation. We're known as the people that show up first with water bottles during tornadoes that help rebuild when they strike us again and help the community and reach people. Come on, give it up for yourself. That's a great church to be involved in. Our good deeds have set us up to win people to Jesus. Again, Mark was just having a conversation at a gas station. Now listen, 2 Timothy 1 will help you a lot. For the Spirit of God does not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind or self-discipline. Fear always dumbs you down. I better not. I've had a couple times up here today, like, oh, I'm going too fast, or that was too much, or did the whole joke a minute ago about space pants. Thought, I shouldn't do that. Edit that out. I'm thinking different stuff. Next service, don't do that again. I'm editing. I'm redacting. I'm taking it out. Was the old lady too much? Was it too much movement? I almost lost my cue on that deal. How did this happen? There's a lot of things hitting my brain. Can you give me that right now? So I'm kind of scared. Sometimes I get scared up here. Oh, I shouted at this campus, but didn't shout at this campus. So then I shouted out Weldon. Then I realized it sounded like it was too much. But then I'm like, oh, and Mars. And that was, it wasn't good the way I did that. All that stuff, I'm editing all that in my head. That's why I go to bed at night. I'm like, oh, God, what? There's a lot of you looking at me. But fear keeps you back. You got to go, hey, you know what? You'll do better next time. You're not too bad. The biscuit guy likes it. You gave him a commercial. Okay, and so, you know, now you got to self-talk, build yourself back up and go, they shot you down, but this person will go with you. And if you just have conversation, listen, here's the biggest deal. You're not trying to close the deal today. You're just being nice to your neighbor. I told you a story a few weeks ago about my neighbor who was a bad neighbor at the last place, few places ago. Nicole moves a lot when the rent's due, and we owned this piece of property, and they took some of the property, and it was a big fight, could have been, but we gave it up and left it alone, gave it to the Lord, and eventually Mr. Tate and his wife showed up at this building, gave their life to Jesus. I wasn't the pastor then. We're just being nice. That's the ultimate long game, right? So just play the long game with people. Love people, and your love for them will cause them to realize that, hey, I might consider this Jesus person because the people that represented Jesus to me were good people. Now, there are weird Christians. Raise your hand if you've seen them. If you didn't raise your hand, you're the weird guy, okay? Okay. So there are weird Christians. If you died today, do you know where you would spend eternity? You're like, hopefully not where you're going. Where are you going? Because where you're going is not where I want to go. Okay, so God loves weird people too. He made quite a few of them. And so what we have to do though is just represent us, our tribe, and love on everybody, everywhere, and show and consider everyone as if probably somebody's rejected them. So if you see a person that has so many like earrings or whatever you call them, piercings up here in their eyebrows, that actually they wouldn't even need like a sleep mask. They could just put a little blinds and just cover them. And then they got a mohawk with multiple different colors everywhere, and you got different stuff. Most likely that person is trying to say, pay attention to me. Somebody didn't pay attention. I'm looking for attention. And so what we need to do is not, sometimes it brings on judgment. Oh, that's weird. What I love to do is go up to people and go, how in the world did you get your hair to stand up like that? That's amazing. Wow, does it hurt to have that many piercings? You know, I mean, but you're making conversation, because what you don't want to do is judge people harshly, because if you knew what they went through and what caused them, not even about this, about whatever it is, the acting out. Why did you go crazy? You went from 0 to 10. It probably wasn't you pulling out in traffic. Probably wasn't that you butted in line at Walmart in your pajamas. It probably was something that happened way back over here that triggered them. So what we need to do is go around loving students in high school. Go around loving the people that nobody loves. If you're at work, go around being nice to everybody that you possibly can. And when you do that, people will be drawn to you, even if they act like they don't like you. Being nice is really a big win, because there's a whole lot of people that people are mean to. They're suicidal. And we don't know it. Sitting silently at home, thinking my life's not worth it. Nobody loves me. But if we, church, just here in St. Louis and in Palm Beach County, if we could just get up and realize that life is bigger than how we look and where we go and where are we going to vacation and, you know, I'm mad my Uber Eats guy is always late and my White Castles are cold and then, and if we just start tipping people and loving people and being nice to people, I'm here to tell you that that's the thing that could actually make somebody's day and maybe even save their life. We got a job to do, guys, and that's to share it. I know I keep saying it, but share it everywhere you go. Be nice to everyone, and eventually you'll lead them into the kingdom of heaven where they can spend eternity. And when you get to heaven, go ahead. When you get to heaven, you're going to be so surprised who's not there. Maybe your favorite preacher. Hopefully that's not me because I want to go. Didn't think that all the way down the path. Sometimes I hear what you guys are hearing the same time that you hear it. But you also might be surprised who is there. How'd they go? Because again, you don't get to heaven by having a church bulletin, paying your tithes. All the things are good and important, but you get to heaven by receiving Jesus. So in the last moments of somebody's life, and that's why I never like to judge people, like, oh man, they were smoking crack and doing all this and doing that. I know they went to hell. You don't know that. Because at the last second, there could have been a seed in their heart that somebody prayed and put in there, and they cried upon God, said, God, can you help me? And God understood their heart, and through that through this compassionate, loving Savior, he can reach people. But if we say, I'm not eloquent, I can't share it, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If there's a bridge out and cars are flying and you see them dying, aren't you going to get a sign? Aren't you going to say there's a bigger priority and go, well, I guess I'll find out in a minute. No, no, no. We have to do everything outside of sin to reach people at high school, to reach them at college, to reach them at your job, to reach them at the street. Wherever you go, share your faith. Don't close the deal. Invite them here. You invite them to one of the campuses. We're not building churches because we want to pave more asphalt. We're not building it because we want more leaks. It's been raining in St. Louis so much, I'm thinking we should have built boats instead of churches. And they all leak and there's problems. We're not doing that for more maintenance. We're doing it because people in these communities need a place to come, to be loved on, to be accepted on. And when you get to heaven, thank you so much for helping us do that financially. Because when you get there, God's going to look at you and he is going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thanks for prioritizing my house. Come on, give it up for the people who get it. You get it. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's almost done. He's out of time. I know he is. Couple things I can give you that might help you. I call it conversation starters. You ought to write this down because this will make you good in business. I've learned this from having good conversations with some fairly smart people. I'll take you right now to Emeralds. Anybody ever seen the Emerald, the chef guy, right? Emerald, so our friend took us to Emeralds and we got to eat in his kitchen where he cooked for us, right? So we go in, everybody's in the restaurant, and you come in here and you're back and you're in the kitchen. And in the kitchen, there's this opaque glass that you can see the other people, but you can flip it and you're not seeing it. In Emeralds, you don't order. Emerald tells you what you're going to eat. And Emerald brings stuff. It's a crazy experience. But as I'm talking to my friend, me and Nicole are asking, "How? We didn't even know this table was here." I'm saying, you know, one time we went to the Sizzler and there was a private room, but that was about it. We're here at Emerald. She said, what? He said, well, I can tell you a story. He said, back when the company, by the way, this guy is very wealthy, he invented the online car financing and online car warranty and so on, and his friend, and we're in there, he said, when I worked for this company, they were trying to close the deal, and it would be about $100,000 a month or so profit for them. They never could close it for over a year. And I told them, I can close it if you let me take the people to this restaurant and don't question the budget. So they said, okay, as long as we get to go. So the CFO and the COO came and they did the experience that we did. And so there's Emeralds serving and they bring out like a $5,000 bottle of wine and a $6,000 wine and they're just having conversation. And the guy, Lee, never talked about the business deal. He said, remember I told you I'm going to teach you some stuff? Tell me about your kids. What's the favorite place you've ever been on vacation? Another great question. Where would you go on vacation if money weren't an option? CFO kicking them. Come on, man, close the deal. Close the deal. Close the deal. Never mentions it. Great evening. Walks out to the cabs and the cars are coming up. Lee never closes it. The guy goes to say something. The CFO, we got to close it. And he kicks him in the leg, like, stop it. And he never mentioned anything. He said he got back to his hotel room and he texts. Got the text. Most wonderful evening we've ever had in our life. What an experience that we could have never, ever had. Thanks for asking all the questions. By the way, you got our business. Where do we sign? Come on, somebody. He's playing the long game, asking questions. You know what people really want to talk about? They want to talk about their favorite subject. You know what the biscuit boy wants to talk about? The biscuit joint. That's what he wants to talk about. He obviously didn't want to talk about a girlfriend because he didn't have a girlfriend sitting next to him. Why? Because he is engaged to the biscuit place, right? And the biscuit place is what he talks about. The biscuits, how can I make the biscuits better? Wonder how many people are right now watching the biscuits. I mean, how many people are eating the biscuits? I mean, they're thinking about the biscuits. And it won't be long till a woman will come in there and go, hey, these buns are hot. People want to talk about themselves. And if you will get into who they are, ask them about their day, how their cheerleading went, how their recital went, how's the pregnancy going. And if you get them, you don't have to close it. Nobody's got to kick you. Just talk to them. And if you get them liking you, that's how we reach people for Jesus. Not telling them with a bullhorn, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Repent, you're going to hell. You sinners. Anybody seen those people? And you're like, please stop it. Give me the bullhorn. It sounds a lot better. Hey, you're all sinners just like me, but thank God we have a loving Savior who died on the cross for us, and he's not mad at you. He's mad about you. Come join me at church today. I don't care if you smell like weed. We'll spray you with some green. Come on, somebody. Come along for the ride, because people don't want to be condemned. They're not asking to be condoned, but God said, I do not come into the world to condemn the world. He came to convict the world with the love of Jesus Christ, and that's what we have to do. Come on, somebody. We got to serve it up. Everywhere we go, say it, spray it, wheel it, deal it, make them feel it. Give God praise today in his house. I want you to stand with me. Nobody leaving, nobody moving, but I want to pray. I want us to pray together for lost people. Do you have family members that you're concerned about where they would spend eternity? Raise your hand, every campus. Come on, well done, every campus. Let me caution you. Don't make that your main concern. Make somebody else's family member at the gas station your main concern. The Bible said that one plants, one waters, and the Lord, he gives the increase. So starting today, if you're worried about that family member, go win somebody else. Fight somebody else. And then eventually those seeds, whatever you sow this, you'll get this. Sow this, you'll get this. So money, you get money. What you sow, you reap. So sow the seeds of Jesus, an invitation to church. And I promise you, it'll come back in a harvest where your family will be here. I believe by this Easter. Stretch your hands toward me at every campus. God, I pray right now that you move in and out every row, up and down every aisle to touch people, God, that before they were afraid, before they were intimidated, before they felt insecure, incapable, unworthy, but God, you today can embrace them with the solidarity to know that your strength is on the inside of them. And through just conversation, what's your vacation? How'd you do that? That's going to draw those people into our field. And God, we will invite them to church and bring them to church. Because friends don't let friends go through hell, and friends don't let friends go to hell. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You can be seated as you watch this. And I would encourage you to stay. I always hate it when people just leave really quick. You run out. Sometimes I meet a bunch of people in the parking lot as I'm going to preach. Come back here to preach. Go there to preach. Come back here to preach. I don't want to meet you on the parking lot, because what I don't want you to do is go to heaven and you stayed for the extended version of a movie, watched all the deleted scenes, you were leaving and then you walked out and then God plays the video of you leaving church before we had the testimony. How many of y'all don't want to see that? That's just a warning to you. Personal pet peeve. I'll shut up now. Watch this.